I was preparing to do the Daniel passage. We talked about it last week regarding Jesus triumphing over the demons, and that, you know, the Daniel passage shows us that there is a spiritual realm, a demonic realm that tries to hinder the answers to our prayers. But I believe that there are times when God will just come in and change the whole direction that I was planning to do. You know, I was preparing this whole week to do the Daniel 10 passage, and it's still a great passage. And if you want to read it this week, and it's great. It's Daniel 10, basically, that whole chapter. But I believe that, you know, this new passage that God gave me is, in a sense, relevant to what we're talking about, or what how we should accept what is being said. And actually, it's the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. It's a long passage, so let me just read it to you. It's a very famous passage also, the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. So let's just read it. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Mark chapter 4, verse 10. "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins should be forgiven them." Remember this part, because we'll come back to it. And then Mark chapter 4, verse 13, where Jesus explains the meaning of the parable of the sower. "And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 21, "And he said to them, Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." Now, as I said, this is a huge chunk of passage, but if we stop and think about it, this is actually talking about how to hear. Or in verse 24, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who has who hear, more will be given. Many times in Jesus' ministry, he always says, you know, he who has ears, let him hear. Because he wants people to have a right attitude in how to hear. And I believe that the parable of the sower is actually showing us the right way in hearing and receiving the word. Now, as a Christian growing up in the church, I've always been taught that this parable is talking about, you know, the Christian life, and especially salvation. That those, you know, who hear the salvation, the gospel, either accept it or accept it temporary, or, you know, having the salvation being choked out by the deceitfulness of riches, or those who accept it have received it and bear fruit. And I believe this is true, and this is a part of what that parable of the sower is. However, I believe the parable of sower actually extends to much more than just the salvation experience, or what we'll say the Christian life experience. Rather, it's talking about how we hear, or how we receive and accept the word that we hear. The word meaning that it comes from God, you know, what God tells us. So when we go to church, you know, how do we receive and hear the word that was spoken to us by God through the preacher? And this is important because this is not only a salvation experience, but this is relevant to every aspect of the Christian life. For instance, let's just say what we talked about last week, where, you know, I was talking about there is a demonic realm, you know, called principalities and powers in the heavenly realms, where Jesus triumphed over them. In the Western world, you know, many people will think that this is just nonsense, or this is just, you know, a archaic thinking that people in the Middle Ages think, but now because we are in the science age, that we don't think or don't receive this because we are in a postmodern age, that, you know, people still believe in demons and angels are sort of, you know, less educated. However, that's not true, and I believe using this as a topic is actually really important if we break down the parable of the sower. First of all, there's a seed that is sowed on the wayside, where the birds of the air came and devoured it. And Jesus said that this is actually someone who hear the word, but they don't receive it. They don't understand it. And then Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So if we put using the topic of angels and demons into this example, we can see that it's someone who hears, you know, someone preaching about angels and demons, and then they don't understand it. You know, they think that this is just archaic thinking, or this is just, you know, nonsense, rubbish, and then they don't accept it. And then immediately Satan comes and takes away that word, so that they will not fully think about it, and they will not, you know, meditate on it, and they will not accept it. And that's why it's also important when I said to remember Mark chapter 4 verse 10, 11 and 12, because this is what Jesus was doing, where he, you know, it says that he was talking to all the people in parables, and without parables he did not talk to them clearly. Actually, I'm just quoting Mark chapter 4 verse 33. Let me read to you. And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Jesus is very serious about who and how we hear, who hears the word and how we hear the word. Now, those people who are just here to be, those who are just casual hearers, or just, you know, just people being in the crowd because they're just such a huge crowd around Jesus, then they come and they hear like really strange parables that they, you know, they don't understand, but because they don't care, you say, oh, you know, it's a great story or it's a great parable, and then they walk away without bothering to try to figure out what the parable is saying. And many times, you know, when we go to church, sometimes when we hear things that are something that we don't understand, you know, how do we deal with it? Do we just say, okay, it's too mysterious and too hard for me to understand, so I won't pursue it? But what Jesus is doing is that he is willing to explain the parable to those who want to understand it, and that's, you know, that's basically what he did, is that he explained the parables to his disciples. But those who are only casual hearers, or those who are just there, you know, just for the crowd, or just to hear a nice story, or just to say that, you know, they hear Jesus spoke or preach, well, these people, they do not accept it, or they cannot accept what Jesus said because they do not understand what he said. And these people, many of them, are like the first ground, the stony ground where the wayside, sorry, it's not the stony ground, the wayside where, you know, the word is, although it's spoken, but it's not received or accepted or understood, and then Satan came and took it away. And then the second ground is the stony ground where, you know, the people hear it and then they accept it, they receive it. But when hardship or tribulations and persecution arises because of the word, then they stumble and they said, okay, forget it. Now let's just use the same example with the demons and angels that we were talking about last week. And let's say someone heard about it and you know, checked the Bible and said, yeah, you know, it's right, the Bible does say it, and they receive it and they accept it and they're you know, they're happy. However, because when they share this with some other people, or maybe their coworkers, their classmates, or even their family members, and then their family members started and their friends started, you know, making fun of them and started ridiculing them and saying, you know, you believe in such, you know, archaic thought or such nonsense, that immediately, because they suffer tribulation or persecution, of course this is just a minor form of tribulation and persecution, but like it's still a hardship for many people, not being accepted by their peers, that they will say, oh, you know, maybe I was mistaken, maybe, you know, maybe I didn't really hear or understood what the preacher was saying, and then they just turn away from the truth that they are, you know, about the angelic realm, about the demonic realm, or about anything else in the Word of God. You know, the healing, the deliverance, and the necessity of miracles, and all these supernatural great and wonderful blessings that God wants to give us. But if we don't accept it, or if we accept it initially, and then because of tribulations and persecution and hardship, and maybe people laughing at us, that we don't accept it or live it out, then we will also miss out on all the blessings that comes from receiving and accepting the word. And then the third type of ground is the one that is sown among thorns. And let's go to Mark chapter 4 verse 18, where it says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this word, this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So once again, using the example of, you know, the demonic realm and the angelic realm, is that someone who hears it and understood it and received it, however, you know, they don't do anything about it. You know, we were talking about last week where it's, you know, where Jesus triumphs over demons. Because Jesus triumphs over demons, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ living in us, we have authority over demons. We don't have to fear them. We don't have to be scared of them. However, in the third ground, the thorny ground, or the grounds with thorns, that someone hears this word and they accept it, but however, because they are too busy doing other things, they're too busy, you know, trying to make more money, they're too busy doing other, you know, trying to just do other things, that they don't do anything about it. They don't think about it, the word. They don't think about, you know, the demonic realm and how the demonic realm will hinder or try to hinder our prayers and all those things, that they don't do much about it. And likewise, because they don't do much about it, it what they hear doesn't help them, or doesn't, you know, affect their behavior or their way of thinking, their lifestyle. They probably understood the word, but they don't, because they don't live it out, and because they're so busy with doing other things that it doesn't do them any good. So this is a good time for us to just reflect and to think about how we hear the word and you know, how we process the word that we hear. You know, if we hear something that is really hard to understand, or something that you know, we can't quite grasp it, do we just say, oh, forget it, it's too hard, you know, becoming the first kind of ground, where it's the wayside, where Satan just comes in and takes away the word? Or do we receive it immediately, but when, you know, other people start laughing at us, when we face tribulations and persecutions, that we say, you know, that then we change our thinking, that we say, you know, Maybe I don't really quite believe in what the word says. This is very important, because many times, especially in healings, and when people get prayed for healings, and then they receive the word that God wants to heal them, but then suddenly, because they start feeling some pain, or someone tells them that you are just being what's that called? Being superstitious and stuff, that they start thinking, maybe my friends are right, maybe I wasn't healed, or maybe God didn't want to heal me. And then because of that, being a doubtful person, that they don't receive the word, and unfortunately they also didn't receive the blessing of the word, which is that God wants to heal them, that Jesus wants to heal them. In the book of James it says that those who ask with doubt in their heart, they should not expect anything from God. In fact, let's go to James chapter 1 verse 5, where it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Of course, in James, it's very specific, talking about asking for wisdom. However, I believe this kind of asking in faith, could be expanded into anything. And those who ask with the double-mindedness, those who ask with doubt in their heart, they should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, as it says in James 1, chapter 7. So, those who going back to the Mark chapter 4 about the grounds, the different grounds, the second ground is the one who received the word and accepted immediately. However, because of persecutions and being ridiculed and tribulations, that they decided that maybe they start doubting the word, they start having questions about whether the word is real or not. And then the third word, or the third ground, and the way we hear the word or accept the word, is that these people actually hear it and understand it and receive it. However, because they are so busy and so worried about other things, that they don't care to do anything about what they hear. I've already given an example previously. And the last ground is actually the ground that we should all hope to be, and we should all hope to be every Sunday, or every time we come to church, in hearing what God wants to say through the preacher or the speaker or the pastor, is that we should be the ones who are sown on good ground, and that we hear the word and accept it, and then bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So I just wanted to quickly remind us that there may be some things that we read in the Bible that we think are too hard. But then what should we do about it? We should not just leave it alone, or just say it's too hard, so I don't understand it, and then don't pursue after it. Because remember, in the Mark chapter 4, especially from verse 10 to 12, and actually if you jump down to Mark chapter 4, verse 33 and 34, it is clear that Jesus purposely spoke parables, purposely spoke things that are hard to understand to a general crowd, so that only those who want to understand, only those who desire to understand, will go and ask him about what does he mean, and that he actually will go and tell them. He explained all things to his disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 34. And likewise, as Christians, that's the kind of attitude that Jesus wants us to have. That although there may be things that we don't understand, or there may be things, let's just use the example of the demonic in the spiritual realm, that we don't quite, we don't see with our physical eyes, and not many of us experience that in our everyday life per se. But do we just say, "Oh, it's too hard, so we don't understand it," or do we do something about it? Do we just go to the Holy Spirit and ask him to teach us about these things, and teach us, because one of the job of the Holy Spirit is to teach us into all truth. So this is just a sidebar per se about how we should hear the word, and I believe that this is what God wants me to talk about, because it's really important that there may be things that will be spoken, or that are spoken, that are really hard for us to accept or then to understand. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to say it's too hard, I don't believe it, and just let it go and let Satan steal away that wonderful blessings that God wants to give us? Or are we like the disciples who will go up to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's really hard to understand, but I'm willing I want to understand it. Will you come and explain it to me? And through the Holy Spirit, He will come and teach us and lead us into all truth. Okay, so let's end this time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for just reminding us of how we should hear when we hear your word, Lord. Lord, we do not want to be the other three kinds of ground, Lord. Those who don't understand it and not do anything about it, and those who receive it, but because of being ridiculed in trials and tribulations that fell away, or those who receive it and understand it, but because of their worries of other things and the busyness of life, that they don't do anything about the word that was spoken. But instead, Lord, we want to be the fourth kind of ground, the good ground, where we understood it, we accept it. And Lord, if we don't understand it, we will come to you and say, Lord, can you come and explain it to us? Lord, I pray, Lord, for everyone who is listening to this message, Lord, that we will have that kind of heart and that kind of desire to want to know you more, especially the things that you tell us, Lord, that if we do not understand it, we will come and come to you and ask that you will come and teach us. And Lord, you are faithful, and Lord, you want people to come to you and ask about the things that are hard to understand, because Lord, you showed it when you were here on earth by telling the truth to your disciples, or by explaining the parables to your disciples. And Lord, I know you will do it for us also. So Lord, once again, I want to thank you. And Lord, I ask that you will just pour out your blessings upon the people who are listening to this message, Lord. And if any of those who are sick, Lord, that you will stretch out your hand, and Lord, you will touch them and heal them, Lord. And those who need deliverance, Lord, that you will just stretch out your hands and deliver them from anything, Lord, from the demonic realm, from mental illnesses, from physical illnesses, Lord. Because, Lord, you are the God of the entire body, the mind, soul, spirit, and the body, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.